That's right. The drive is live. Yeah, and Clint, I know, Tyler, I know I did not hear D'Amico earlier today say, Will Anderson, man, I gotta chill him out. Ooh. Gotta keep him from away from my quarterback. Ooh. I know I didn't hear him say that.
I think
he did
may
not
have.
Say that.
I think you may have.
God, I hope he did not say that, Ron. All these hard-ass listeners and hard-ass
no,
Texans fans are going to be mad at D'Amico.
Leave
I told
Will
you,
alone,
they jumped Clint. All over. They jumped all over me for stating the damn obvious. Can't
Will
even practice
Anderson
on the offensive
Junior
side of the ball because Will Anderson's kicking everybody's ass. Yeah, you got to call the dog off, man. That's part of being that aggressive on defense is at times. You know what, D'Amico? It's a price that you pay when you miss on the first offensive coordinator you hired and you got to start over.
We don't
you got to call them dogs off a little bit and give CJ a damn chance. Yeah. You heard it. Not once, but twice today, actually, in D'Amico's comments. You heard him. There you go. You heard him talking about Will Anderson needing to. Yeah, Will's great. Will's great, but he needs to stay with my quarterback. Now he's getting a little too damn close.
Y'all are picking
gotta call
on
the dogs
Will.
Off. Yeah, you damn right he said it. Not once, but twice, Ron.
Don't slow him down. Yeah, I mean, you're right, Clint. You're dead on the money. You said that. Somebody else on this program said, hey, man, I don't know, boy. You get a little close to CJ.
Oh, he's trying too hard for you guys.
He's getting close to them legs. And look what y'all said. Oh, yeah, that's it. Clint said he wants to let's trade Will because he plays too hard. Or let's do that. No, look at that. The head coach came out. You see, you hear that? You know when people be laughing and joking and they say stuff? Honest to God, I feel like my mom did this to me yesterday.
Wow.
But they be laughing and joking, but they be saying real honest for real stuff, but they say it in a laughing and joking manner. Like, yeah, I'm gonna need him to stay away from my quarterback. But it felt like D'Amico, he was laughing and chuckling a little bit, but I bet he was like, no, but for real though.
But seriously.
No, D'Amico's dead ass serious. D'Amico wouldn't even shape his mouth to talking about pulling the reins back a little bit if he wasn't dead serious.
Yeah. Hey, man, yeah, chill out, man. Get away from my quarterback's legs, man. All right, man. Chill out on seven. But, no, man, we got to get to the thoughts. 713-572-4610. As always, you can jump in. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in as well and be a part of the show. A lot to get to. And I do want to get, because I think there is an overwhelming thought. You've not heard this. I don't believe I've heard it from anybody else. Clint, we've talked a little bit today, and this has been something on your mind a couple of days. I do want to get to that on CJ here in just a bit, but today to me feels like a day that saw the offense maybe have its best day here in the last couple of days of camp. The offense, including CJ Stroud, who was really efficient. I saw this from DJ Bieniemy, said CJ was 11 on 11, he was 5 of 6 on the day. Wasn't as under as much pressure. Also, he did put in the caveat there were a lot of three-step drops and quick passes. I think you were kind of alluding to that to get some easy completions. But nonetheless, he was efficient. Best day they've had pass protecting. Best day offense overall had. So I think that's the first piece of today's story.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't blown away, I guess, as much as everybody else was. I thought it was a better day. Yeah. But you start 7-on-7 off with a pick, you know, on a throw to that Bullock, I believe, got up underneath the slant route and hit him right in the chest. And so you start
the first throw.
I believe it was the first throw of 7-on-7. Yes. And so you start there. And then from that point forward, yeah, there were some good plays made. I thought that they were able to get some of their quick game off. They were able to get some boot game off and kind of move the pocket a little bit and maybe keep the defense off balance a tad bit as they worked their stuff. So yeah, it was a, you know, if you're comparing the day to previous offensive days, yes, today was better. CJ Stroud hit Christian Kirk for a big chunk. Davis Mills hit Higgins on a go route, which is a great catch by Higgins. I believe it was Mertz hit Mechie on a little inverted corner route to his left side. That was a great catch by Mechie. So there were some plays made today. There's no doubt there were some plays made today.
Yeah, obviously I don't think it blew. I wasn't trying to say it blew, you know, your skirt up, but it was it was not a day where you come back and you're like, well, yeah, it was mostly bad. I think it was probably, as I said, probably their best day offensively today against that defense since they've kind of had camp, especially day two of pads. But I know as we look at CJ, Clint, there's a bigger thing in your mind that is brewing that you've been watching the last couple of days with CJ. I haven't heard anybody else really talk about this.
Yeah, I think something's wrong with CJ Stroud. I think there's still some lingering issues from the offseason conversations that had everybody in an uproar around here with him not throwing. There's too many stars aligning right now. If you just watch CJ consistently and you watch how the organization is handling the quarterback situation, there's too many stars that are aligning. There's too many coincidences to continue to call it a coincidence for me. I just think at this point in time, something's going on with CJ Stroud. I think it has to do with that shoulder that was keeping him from throwing the football in the offseason.
No.
Yeah, it's well, not.
What's bringing you to that point, Clint? Well, like, what are you seeing?
I don't like any of what you're saying right now, man.
Yeah, like, what are you seeing? Because he's practicing, right? Like, what are?
Yeah,
what
no. He's definitely practicing. But there, like I said, there's too many things that you know, individually, aren't red flags. But to me, when you start grouping them all together, they're absolutely a red flag. Look, I thought the rotation. The quarterback rotation simply has been odd from jump. You come into a training camp installing a new offense and you're worried about getting four quarterbacks reps. And this has not I chalked it up to just, hey, it's part of the acclimation phase of camp here with four quarterbacks getting reps, right? Hey, man, we're into practice six, day seven, right? We're a week into camp, literally a calendar week into camp, and we're still watching a third and fourth string quarterback get just as many reps as the starting quarterback is getting, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know how long I can continue to just chalk that up to an acclimation phase or a ramp up.
How different was that in your time?
Oh, I mean, Troy Aikman was like, nah, I'm going to take 80 to 90% of the reps. Y'all can get scout team crap if y'all want to.
Get your foot placement right.
I mean, but I'm not saying that C.J. Stroud should be Troy Aikman, but – I can tell you this. I was with two different organizations in training camp, and as a third or fourth string quarterback, I was lucky to throw two or three balls a day. I mean, these guys are getting as many reps as C.J. Stroud is getting in camp for a week now, right? So that's number one, right? If you look at C.J. Stroud on the day three, practice number three, that was more of a walkthrough, right? C.J. Stroud, the throws that he could throw underhanded that were shorter throws, he's throwing them underhanded. He's not even throwing them overhanded. I chalked it up at the time of like, oh, he's just clowning around. But looking back on it, it happened several times. All right? And then I'm watching practice today, and there's two special teams periods that are long, and the quarterbacks are over all in a group on an opposite field. Right? CJ's kind of watching film. The first long one, he is under the tent talking to defensive backs while all the other quarterbacks, quarterback coach, OC, and everybody's kind of huddled up working and talking, right? The second special teams period is long. The quarterbacks are all throwing. CJ Stroud's sitting on his helmet. I think he was looking at an iPad again. And then about halfway through that, he comes over and stands and watches special teams waiting for the next period to start. Never threw a ball. The other quarterbacks are throwing spot routes, right? Again, not a big deal in a vacuum or by itself individually, but we're starting to connect some dots here. He goes immediately to the field, takes two reps, and then Davis Mills follows that up with about four reps in a row. It's to me, there's something going on with C.J. Stroud. And it's not just the frustration of installing an offense and your O-line struggling for a week. There's something going on with C.J. Stroud, and I think it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, when I hear it, obviously there was some sort of arm fatigue or something that they were at least monitoring during OTAs, and he didn't throw. Maybe that is still continuing. I'm hoping, as Tyler said, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, I don't like anything that you just talked about with CJ. That like the hope is maybe they're just trying to keep that and monitor that. And that not let him get too wild and get his arm right. And or is this the way you think that Nick Caley
No.
Approaches things?
No, 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 I don't. I'd be willing to bet you $1,000 right now of 32 football teams in the NFL, C.J. Stroud has taken fewer snaps in camp than 31 starters across the league. I'd bet a grand on it. I'd bet a house on it. Hell, I'd bet more than a grand. I'd bet a house on it right now.
Wow,
that C.J. Stroud is 32 of 32. And here's kind of why I'm really arriving here is I just gave you a list of kind of laundry list of stars aligning. The struggles that we've seen offensively, C.J. Stroud starting today's practice with an interception in a 7-on-7 period, the way we've seen this offense struggle, we're at a point in camp, in day 7, practice 6, where C.J. should be getting more reps than anyone else, and he's getting less. Whether it's because they're installing a new offense, C.J. Stroud, I don't care if Nick Caley or D'Amico or anybody says, well, this is going to be – C.J. Stroud should have gone, assuming that there's not. This isn't part of a plan and we're not load managing and we're not worried about an injury to an arm. We're at a point in camp, whether we're talking about the seventh day or we're talking about installing a new offense or we're talking about the frustrations of struggling, where C.J. Stroud would demand to have more reps. C.J. Stroud would demand, we got to get this right. I need to make these throws. I need to make these reads. We're at a point in camp where there's no excuse. There's no excuse nor in normal everyday approach to practice for C.J. Stroud to be getting as few reps as he's getting right now. I'm telling you, keep an eye on it. There's something going on.
Listen, are you seeing anything in terms of his performance? The way the ball is coming off, is there anything? Does he look like he is favoring anything? Does he look different the way he throws the football what you've watched previously?
No. I thought the ball comes out of his hand effortlessly. Now that you say that, we've not seen him throw a ball down the field. He threw a crossing route that was probably caught at maybe 20 yards beyond the line of scrimmage with a little bit of air, and he caught it from Christian Kirk today. Unless it happened on Saturday, I wasn't at practice on Saturday, but I don't know that I've seen C.J. Stroud throw a ball down the field since the mini camp when Higgins caught the go route down the sideline to start things off. Remember that? When we were there, I don't think I've seen him throw a ball more than 15, 20 yards down the field. Definitely no deep post. Definitely no go routes. I haven't seen him rear back and try to pipe one in there. Everything's been kind of more controlled underneath with C.J. But we're just at a point where, and I know, I don't know C.J. personally, but I know the kind of quarterback C.J. is right now. C.J.'s not allowing this offense to sputter for the first 5 practices. C.J.'s not starting a 7-on-7 with an interception and then bowing out after 2 reps. I mean, C.J.'s the guy that turns around and goes, no, hell no, I don't give a damn what Graham Mertz needs. Back your ass up. Let's start this thing over. I need these reps. I mean, that's just – I think C.J. is that kind of quarterback. I think he's cut from that cloth. And to me, this is – we've reached a point where there's too many coincidences. I think they're managing something. I think there's a problem, and they're trying to do their damnedest to keep it from becoming a bigger problem.
From the text line coming through, is it possible that Caley wants him to read more? Is that why he is not having him on the field?
Let me rephrase this. There is
like before bet.
There is not yes. one. There is Good not one moon. Reason, acceptable, justifiable reason under the sun for Davis Mills to be getting more reps than C.J. Stroud.
The very hungry caterpillar.
There is not Nothing. One reason why Graham Mertz or Slovic, whatever it is, there's no reason those guys should be getting as many, if not more, reps. There's not one reason under the sun. In fact, I'd argue when you're installing a new offense, my 4-string quarterback would be a guy that was going to, hey, man, sorry, bub, we couldn't get you any reps today. You know what I mean? That there is no reason. There's no reason for other than something's going on with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, text line also coming through. If something was wrong with Stroud's shoulder, there is no way on bloody hell. I love when people stick bloody in.
Cross the
bloody
pond.
Hell that D'Amico would allow him on the field. Period. Come on, man.
Look, I'm not saying that anybody is taking an unnecessary risk. I'm telling you, all I can do is tell you what I'm watching. That's all I can do. All I can do is tell you what I'm watching at practice, and I'm telling you as a former quarterback, and I know it was 20 years ago, but what's going on with C.J. Stroud from a rep standpoint, from a engagement standpoint.
It's unusual.
Ron, you've been out there at practice. You've been watching him for 2 years now. Was there ever a session where the quarterbacks were on the field by themselves throwing a football and C.J. wasn't dead-ass in the middle of it and throwing extra? Was there ever a day?
Multiple days. Yeah, and the two reps and out, that's a little – that's I don't know that I've seen that with really any starter. Not in camp.
Not installing an offense.
Not even with the offense installed. Not in camp. That's not really
agreed.
I've not really seen that.
I'm telling you, man, it's something. Keep an eye on it. I'm not sitting out here. I know D'Amico's going to be pissed off at this, by the way, after his rant yesterday. I'm not out here trying to tell you what's wrong. I'm not here trying to tell you that there's some kind of crazy injury. I'm telling you right now, watching five of the six practices that have taken place, something ain't right with C.J. Stroud.
You just by you. You're not saying that you know anything. You have any inside information, but for you, what you're seeing numbers wise in terms of reps and all of that, the last since camp started, is just unusual, and you and tips you to think like something's up because this isn't normal.
I'm not positive, Ron, because I didn't sit there and count every single rep, but they did two team periods. And 1 7-on-7 period. And I know in one of the teams he got two reps, and I know in the 7-on-7 he got two reps. I'm not gonna pin myself down to a precise number there because I was trying to watch other things, but there is today 7-on-7 and team combined, I bet you CJ Stroud got a single digit rep. I bet it was nine or fewer.
To me, the hope is that they're maybe potentially still cautiously protecting his arm in a way they did during mandatory minicamp.
But that in itself, in itself is something. I mean, you're trying to install an offense. You know what I mean?
No, I get it. No, I get it. I get where you're coming from. All right, coming up, the Astros needed to stop the bleeding yesterday. They did not. They did not. That did not occur. And are we reaching rock bottom right now? Hopefully for the Astros. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Bottom to end the game. Astros have lost five in a row for the first time this year, all coming on this homestand, all coming against teams at the bottom of their division. The Astros now 0-5 against the A's and the Washington Nationals as they lose tonight by the score of 2-1.
All right, shout out to Todd Callis, Space City Home Network. Todd Callis is about to lose it.
What is going on?
Todd's going to lose it here in a second if they don't get it together like I think many of you are about to lose it. Yesterday, fellas, we talked about them needing to stop the bleeding. We talked about them needing to stop the bleeding, and nobody better on the mound than their ace, Framber Valdez, to stop the bleeding.
No.
He's won 13. They have won 13 straight starts of his. He's 10-0 in that span. Last night, Framber Valdez stepped out, six innings, three hits, one earned. He would like to have some discussions about that one earned.
Well,
two walks, 12 strikeouts, 97 pitches. I frankly believe he could have gone out again, but 97 pitches, and it still wasn't enough.
No.
Because they couldn't muster more than a run.
No.
And now it is five straight to teams that got no business losing games to, let alone five in a row. The A's, who promptly went and lost to the Mariners. Hey, don't look now, fellas. The lead is now three in the West as this thing is really unraveling at this point, fellas. And the hope is, and the question is right now, is this rock bottom? You roll through the Hunter and Framber starts. Both of them give up a run apiece in both starts. and they lose. They lose both of them. This feels like the
ideal.
Hope that it's rock bottom.
Yeah, look, I think that's fair. I think that's accurate. I mean, hopefully it's rock bottom. I don't know how it gets much worse. I mean, you and God, knock on wood, hope it never does. But the way you laid that out, your two horses have pitched and given up one run each, and you lose that game. And your lineup is obviously a shell of itself with all the injuries. So, and you lost five in a row. You've lost, what have they won, two games in the last 13 or something like that? Three games in the last 13?
Yeah. They're 5-16.
Yeah. Well,
in their last 21.
So five of their last 21. Yeah. That's not good. And so I hope like hell it's rock bottom. And I hope like hell we get some good news on the handful of players that'll be back ASAP.
Yeah, I know Jeremy Pena is supposed to go tonight in Sugar Land. But it's not just obviously that, Clint, but they need to get some guys back, and it feels like they're going to need to make some moves. And according to Dana Brown on the broadcast last night, he said, we do feel like we're going to get something done. He said, adding a bat is a priority, but a starter or a reliever would be good too.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
There you go. He also spoke with Jim Bowden, who covers Major League Baseball, said that he's looking for a left-handed hitter and a Game 3 quality starter for the playoffs. That's what he said yesterday. And they need a spark, and they need not only to get their guys back, but I think you've been saying this, Clint. You almost have to ignore some of those guys right now and act in a fashion as if they're not there, or you're not there, or you're missing that right now, because that some of them have been out so long, and the hope is that they come back and they can perform to the level you believe they can. Right now, man, it is sinking, it is dropping. And as you said, that lineup is easy to deal with, and you got pitchers every night that probably feel as if they've got a damn near pitch, a perfect game for them to win games, and one run, giving up one run ain't enough. And it is something they have got to figure out, and they have until Thursday, Clint, to figure something out. But I expect Tyler and Cheryl looking at the phones and getting ready right over the next day or so. They need to make some moves to add to this team.
Look, I heard Dana Brown in the booth last night, or maybe it was the night before, one of the two nights. It was last night because they didn't play two nights ago, so it had to be last night. I love where Dana Brown's mind is, and the transparency of not having a problem talking about it. He was very blunt with those guys of, hey man, we're being busy. In fact, I don't have time to sit here for another segment at this commercial break. I got to get up out of here and go. And so, yeah. And then I love the detail that you mentioned of specifically a Game 3 starter and a left-handed bat. Absolutely. I love that it's not, well, we just need a quality starter that can be in a five-man rotation, and because we got this guy coming back and that guy coming back. And no, man, I think they've got to go make a bold move for again, that Kikuchi-level starter from last year, and then hope like hell he comes in here and performs the way Kikuchi did as an Astro. So, yeah, man, I love where Dana Brown's head's at right now.
Yeah, and now it's clear we are hearing what he feels like they need to get. And now the thought is, can they execute that? Can they pull that off? I would say, Clint, my expectation is that they at least get one of them. At least get you would hope both, but they should come away with at least either the bat that he has taught, left-handed bat or whatever bat it is that he has talked about, or a quality starter. They've got to come away with something to help this team, because they are falling and struggling big time. I like yesterday, you started to see how that was going. You were like, this is it. Framber has gone in, and we'll get to Framber a little bit later on, because Framber is clearly hot under the collar about some stuff that we'll need to discuss a bit later. But there's now an expectation. You've now laid out what it is that you need, and there's probably a bit of an expectation that you try to execute what that is that you need. Some people from the text line, quit playing Zach Short. Hell, guys, I mean, Listen,
who do you want them to play?
I know there's a lot. There's not a lot you can do, right? At this point, man, I guess you could put Dubon there, but your third baseman's out too, right? You got several things at second base. Like, I mean, you want to see Shea a lot more, right? They've expressed
third continues for Shea.
That's not necessary. They've expressed they're not moving Cam to play third base, and I'm with them. Hell, he is a right fielder. Let him play right field. I don't know how much I can look at Joe for that.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
Text line coming in. This is expected, man. They weren't even supposed to be this good. No, this was not it. No, they have shown us. They have shown us. They have shown us they're better than getting going five straight to the A's and the Nationals at home with Hunter and Framber being in the middle of it.
They can put two baseball fields together at all positions with their injured list right now.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'm pissed. I'm not just sitting here making excuses, but, I mean, it's a grand scheme.
Yeah. We'll see if they can get it rolling tonight. Jason Alexander gets the ball. Maybe they need to go in that route. Maybe that's what helps. Thanks, Tyler. Coming up, how do the offensive line look? That's always going to be a big discussion point today. How did the offensive line look? We'll talk about that coming up next, right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
The whole line, again, it's different guys have been in there. I think those guys are continuing to get better. And you see, it's real football. You get to block guys with pads on. I think that's just real, and that's what you see. Our guys are doing a solid job, and they're continuing to get better.
All right, you hear from D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, as he spoke today. That was him speaking about the offensive line's effort, day two in pads for the offensive line, which you could get a better look of things as they can go full speed. This is day two of it. Yesterday, there was some struggles in particular in pass protection, as we talked about yesterday. Clint, what did you see today? Everything I've heard is there have been some real improvements, or at least improvements over the past couple of days from the offensive line's performance today.
Well, I wouldn't get real carried away with that. I think today was a better day than the previous days where it seemed like guys were just getting their tails whipped up front in pass protection. I thought today the quarterbacks got the ball out on time. Even some of the balls they threw down the field, the go route to Higgins was kind of a back shoulder type throw that was caught definitely under 40 yards, maybe even under 30 yards down the field. So it was out quick. The Kirk route over the top was a ball that was thrown early on time with a little bit of air. Great ball, but it was out early. Didn't need a whole hell of a lot of protection there. The ball that was thrown to Mechie down the field a bit was an inverted corner route. So that one took a little longer to develop there, so the ball may have been held there. But I think the quarterbacks overall did a better job of getting the ball out quick. The offensive line did a better job of not collapsing around the quarterback. It was a solid day from that perspective. I think, there was three or four false start penalties that are obviously a major problem. And in reality, what teams are going to do and what the Texans are going to do to other teams is they're going to take away all the quick stuff. They're gonna rely on their pass rush getting there, force the quarterback to hold the ball, and they're gonna eat right. And today the Texans were able to overcome that offensively, and make some plays. So yeah, I thought it was a good day. I wouldn't get over. I wouldn't go overboard and say it was a great day by the offense by any means. But better day, yes.
But they took steps forward. They took at least a step forward. And however they're going to do. And to be honest, Clint, I did see that a lot of three step drops. A lot of, getting the ball out and not holding it, or at least not putting CJ in many positions to hold it. And Clint, honestly, I think especially early, and maybe not just early, I think that's got to be the formula, right? I mean, I think they're going to have to do things to help this offensive line.
Oh, absolutely. It has to be the formula. No question about it. It shouldn't surprise anybody that when the quarterback holds the football, the pocket collapses. I mean, you've got Ariante Ursery, Blake Fisher, Cam Robinson. I mean, you've got some guys that aren't Laramie Tunsil out there. It should. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It shouldn't surprise anybody. Then when you look inside, yeah, I'm going to be surprised if Lakin Tomlinson and Titus Howard get their ass kicked early and often. But when you put them, as much as they're rotating, you're putting guys in there, is going to surprise anybody, which it's already happened, that Juice Scruggs get beat like he did several times in the 2024 season. No, it's not. I mean, you know, you look at Jarrett Patterson and Jake Andrews, they've looked good so far, but they're not going to go up there and just build a wall. So, look, right now, I mean, there's so much rotation going on. Guys are going to make mistakes if the quarterback holds the football. To your point, there's layers to this install thing, Ron. On the offensive side of the football, when you are installing an offense, and you particularly, which I firmly, strongly believe that C.J. Stroud needs to play a certain brand of quarterback, which is get the ball out, protect yourself, protect your offensive line. I think Nick Caley needs to install a certain kind of offense to start with, which is get the football out, be creative in the quicks, have a great screen game, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. Well, when you're going against a great defense every day, and they have the ability to take all that crap away from you with a great pass rush and Pro Bowl and all-pro caliber corners, then your install is going to be frustrating as hell. So that's why I keep going back, Ron, to this installing this offense is going to be frustrating big time if D'Amico doesn't manage it somehow. Today was a day where they got some positive things done and they got the ball out in a quick manner.
I will say this, it does, and at least seeing it and how it was handled with Blake Fisher, and you said there were some others, that felt different. Blake Fisher, hey man, a guy that, you know, you would think was in the mix to potentially be a starter for this team. By the way, Clint, it does seem like Ariante Ursary has really, the last couple of days, taken hold of one of those tackle spots. It seems like they're at least starting at that point. But when you look at a guy like Blake Fisher, he jumped off offside, had a false start, Clinton. They took his ass right out. Yeah. Like that, there seems to be at least some sort of an expectation changing to where there is going to, which you I think you got to love. And they've talked about this with Cole Popovich, and that may be a part of it. Hey, man, you got to get the hell out. Like, no, man, we're not playing with that. You know, we got to – and now, obviously, as you said, there were others as well, but maybe just a sign of like, yeah, man, you may be a starter, but we'll run Zach Thomas in this game and not the one who has the square chin that's in the Hall of Fame, but like we'll run a backup offensive lineman in here if you can't execute what we need to have executed. So I did like to hear and see that.
Well, yeah, as long as it works for everybody. I saw the Blake Fisher deal. I believe Ariante Ursary jumped early on a screen that went to Nico Collins to his side when he was at right tackle, which would have been a nice little play that I think would have got called back. I think it was him. I saw the flag on the ground, and I saw him kind of Debbie Downer on that thing. But, I think the key here when it comes to these penalties and holding guys accountable is that you do it to everybody, right? If there's no more Laramie Tunsil, hey, you can do whatever you want. Everybody else is going to run a lap kind of thing. I think as long as everybody's held accountable, which I think is what they're trying to accomplish in that O-line room, and really D'Amico accomplishes across the board with his team, is everybody's going to be held accountable. No matter whether you're a rookie or you're a 6-7 year vet, you're going to be held accountable. So bottom line is we can talk about how good of a day it was with the offensive line, and while it was better, the penalties will bite you in the ass. There was a negative there that's going to drive a coach, absolutely mad when they watch the film.
Yeah. So O-line, obviously one of the still major topics of discussion. By the way, the O-line today, the first group and the second group was the same except for the center position. That first group went out was Cam Robinson, Lakin Tomlinson, who you heard earlier on In the Loop. If you missed that, you might want to go check that out on the podcast page or the Odyssey app. Jake Andrews was with the first group. The second time this group went out, it was Jarrett Patterson. And then Titus Howard, and as I said earlier, again, Ariante Ursary over at that right tackle spot. So that was the group today, both times they went out, except for the center spot. By the way, I feel like this is a safe space. I can have a conversation with you boys. And
of course it is.
Some of the people. I'm just curious. When's a good age? When do you think is a good time to have the birds and the bees conversation? I don't ever remember having it had with me.
I hope to never have it. Mine are girls.
You're going to have to.
I think you have to, man.
Yeah, I think you have to.
I am not. Linda. I mean, Lauren is. Hopefully Linda does not. Hopefully Linda does not.
Yeah, let Linda talk. Yeah, let Linda do
that. That would be golden.
Yeah, that'd be about right. Mom starts in giving me relationship advice on the marriage. I'm like, Mom, easy.
Where babies come from, authored by Mama Hogg.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I walk in the house already and I hear my 3.5-year Liv talking about, there's a baby in my belly. I'm like, wait, what are we doing here? What? I mean, surely we're talking about a horse or one of your animals.
That's
or something.
No,
she said a baby, damn it. We had the old, and some parents know this, we had the old sixth grade
health
parent teacher, like the parent and the teacher, the principal sat down with us, gave us, you know, a full breakdown of what sixth grade is going to look like with the parents in one gym and the kids in the other. And I'm like, man, it, you know, the conversations in there, man, vape pens were brought up 8-9 times in this meeting. So many different things. I'm like,
you didn't talk about your car, did you?
No, I didn't. But I didn't raise my hand and say, well, hell, I had a coworker leave a vape pen in my back seat that my 7-year-old daughter found. No, I didn't.
Oops.
But at this point, I'm thinking, man, I feel like we've got to be getting into the birds and the bees conversation. Like, I got to be getting close with the sit down and, hey, son, you know, this is a.
What age is sixth grade?
11. 11 to 12, is that?
Feels about the right time, man.
Sixth grade, is that? I mean, obviously with Clint, we know that.
He was
marching
like,
close.
It depends on where Trey's at in his life. You know what I mean? I mean, that watching Dad Skinamax through clenched eyes at about second grade really advanced me. So I mean. You know, I was trying to see a bra in about fourth or fifth grade. I mean, you'd be a little late on.
Now, again, Clint, right now, I don't believe he is in that, but I wonder, did Linda and your dad, did Earn, Big Earn, did they know that you was trying at fourth grade see some fun bags?
I don't know if they knew about it, but I mean, they don't know what I was trying to do. I'm pretty sure Big Earn knew I was looking at that Playboy in that third drawer in that bathroom along with
you. I don't have a drawer. I'm
tell you, when you walked in our bathroom, there was one drawer that you could tell had been opened, I mean, a million times. The other ones ain't been touched. Guess what was behind drawer number three? The old Playboy.
Go for speed or for comfort?
Yeah,
these
man.
Guys
I mean,
said,
I was,
these guys
I mean,
said it
still
was.
A, there's a chick out there that still thinks I like her, that I really liked her in fifth grade, and I was just all I wanted to do was see a bra, really a bra. I mean, I wasn't even trying
just
to see
the bra.
I just wanted. I mean, I was.
These guys said it was.
She was blessed. I mean, she was well endowed, and is that called well endowed?
If you're talking about
well
about
endowed,
the
is I think was Hank, and but. Yeah, I mean, I was.
She had good sweater puffs.
You know, she'd wear one of them white T-shirts. You could see the brassiere through, and I'd be like, "Man, okay, I got to see that brassiere."
Really?
So I was there. So
those hormones at that age.
Where I'm going with that is Trey. Where is that? Where is Trey at? Where are you starting at? Are you starting ground zero?
I think so. I, again, but I don't know what his horny ass is doing when he's not around me.
Well, I mean, he is your son.
It's the truth.
Zing! Jinx! That's how a great show comes together right there.
B. Scott texted in on YouTube and Twitch, said it was a sixth grader selling condoms at his middle school. I didn't know what to do with them at the time. I'd have to have the convo ASAP.
I remember a kid in my neighborhood lifting up his basketball goal in his driveway, and he had a box of condoms, and I was like, what is that? I had no idea either.
We got to go to Twin Peaks and tell stories. I got to do one.
Someone texted in, sadly, these days, Ron, 9 or 10, is the age to have the talk. My daughter got her cycle in fifth grade. Oh, hell no. Nope. Nah, man.
I'm out on this combo.
Man. When did you have it with your dogs?
No, I had them sewn up long before they got there. Sorry, ladies.
I feel like no, we got to do this before here. He starts the sixth grade. I feel like we got to do this before he starts.
It feels like it to me.
It does.
Well, you've been. It sounds like you've been stewing for a while now. I mean, what do you?
I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to attack it, though. That's my only thing.
You got to teach him how he should.
Because I feel
you could have took him up there to San Antonio that day early and spent and got that hotel room and went ahead and had that a good solid evening, man. Just you and him.
We had the 5-year old though with us too, so that wouldn't. I didn't want to.
Surely,
teach him
Mom would have understood. I'm on a mission. Mom, I'm on a mission.
I think I'm just going to attack it aggressively.
Wouldn't expect anything less.
Like,
from you.
Hey, this is what happens. You see that thing you got down there? With that? All right, coming up.
I mean, this is the fruit of your loins, bro.
Coming up.
Teach him well.
Did you have any problem with Framber Valdez speaking publicly about what he had an issue with during that game? If you've missed it, Framber did not keep quiet. He expressed exactly how he felt about how his team was being positioned behind him. Do you have any problem with him not keeping that in-house and saying it publicly? We'll discuss that coming up next.
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.